Hey, fantasy football fans, who... Hey, fantasy football fans, who doesn't love the excitement of picking your team? Well, get this. You can do that any week when you play in one-week fantasy football leagues at FanDuel.com. You play for real money, and winners get immediate cash payouts. Nothing beats the excitement of living out a whole season of fantasy football in just 1 week. And right now, you can get up to $200 free. For every dollar you deposit, FanDuel will match it up to $200. Click the banner now or go to FanDuel.com, click the radio microphone in the upper right corner, and use promo code Blog Talk.
From what?
I don't practice Santeria. I ain't got...
Well, hello, hello. Welcome to Drive Through HR. We are... talking today with a really awesome guest, and I am Crystal Miller. I am guest hosting for William Tincup, Brian Wimpen, and Nisha. So let's not waste any time. I'd love to be able to turn things over to our guest today. Tell us all about you.
Hi, my name is Stephanie Camp, and I'm the Vice President of Marketing for Limeade, and really happy to be here with you, Crystal. Thanks for having me on the show.
Oh, man, we're really excited that you can be here. So for everybody who has maybe read the announcement about who was going to be here, Henry couldn't be here, but Henry works with you.
Yeah. Yeah,
so we're
really
glad
to be here. Great. One of our company values, our most important company values is to delight customers. And so Henry had a last-minute trip to go meet with a customer. So I'm sorry he couldn't be here today, but I'm really excited to be able to chat with you, Crystal.
Likewise. So for anybody who's following along on the Twitters, are you on Twitter? And if so, what's your Twitter handle?
It's Stephanie Camp. So, yes, I am on Twitter.
Awesome.
C-A-M-P, like summer camp.
Awesome. All right. Well, Stephanie, let's get to it. What's on your mind? What do you want to talk about today?
Well, first, Crystal, you asked me to just describe quickly what Limeade does for people who don't know us yet. And would you like me to start off with just a brief overview?
Yeah, I think that's fantastic.
Okay, so Limeade is a technology company. We're based in Bellevue, Washington. And what we do is we essentially help Fortune 1000 companies improve the health, well-being, and performance of their workforce. And we do that through an employee engagement platform. We offer incentives and rewards to employees to help them improve in lots of different facets of their life. Really, we started with kind of health and thinking about physical health, nutrition, and we've expanded to lots of various aspects of well-being, from financial health to stress management to actually improving employee training. And lots of the HR initiatives that are critical to our clients. So we kind of integrate that all through an employee engagement platform.
So tell me why it's critical, because, you know, the people that may not feel the same way about it may think, oh, that's a nice to have, not a have to have. But if you're saying it's critical, that sounds like a have to have. Why is it?
Yeah, well, our clients tell us that they really want to make sure that they are able to bring their culture to life for every single employee, especially if you think about new hires. And so sometimes it's hard for employees to really be aware of all of the resources that are available to them and also feel motivated enough to participate in those really great benefits and programs. Like a lot of our clients say that, you know, for example, our financial wellness program is our best benefit that nobody knows about. And so what we do is we help these Fortune 1000 companies create a hub or a platform where they can promote all of their critical HR initiatives like financial well-being, corporate training, anything regarding health as well in one place. And we create challenges with points and rewards for participating. And we find that by pulling these things all together in one platform, employees have more awareness of what's going on. They're able to really understand what benefits are available to them. And then it also creates a sense of community in the workforce as they engage in these activities together.
That's good stuff. And that really is a good thing. So what's new? What's on your horizon? What's happening at Lyman?
Yeah, so we're actually here to talk a little bit more about a recent announcement at LimeAid. We found that one of the easiest ways for employees to improve their health and well-being is with this big trend towards wearable technologies. So we're trying to keep our eye out for what's new and different in the world. And you know, now 75% of U.S. consumers have a fitness device. And devices really make it easy for employees to track and measure what's going on in terms of their health and their physical health. So devices like Fitbit and Garmin are now becoming really popular, as well as a lot of the pedometers that are connected to their smartphones. And so we're announcing that we now have connection to 80-plus wearable devices and fitness apps. And so what that means for employers is that their employees can now really easily track their activity and engage in team challenges around those. So, for example, right here at LimeAid, we have a steps challenge where each department is competing with each other to see who has the most steps. So it's a really fun and engaging way to get more people to start being a little bit more active and competitive with each other.
How does that help?
I know I don't have to. Pardon me?
Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, and I was just saying that I know that we don't have to go into some of the benefits of physical activity, but in terms of, you know, some of the key things that our clients tell us that why they want to improve physical activity is that, you know, it lowers stress, it improves overall health and wellness, and it also creates more productivity when people are kind of active consistently and sustainably throughout the day. So by having 80 or more devices on our platform, we're really giving employees the freedom of choice so that they can use whatever device they already own to engage in these employee programs.
Very cool. So like I have a Misfit that can integrate. I don't necessarily have to buy new tech.
That's exactly right.
Well, my waistline would probably like that. So that I would have gotten help with employee adoption.
Yes, it definitely helps with employee adoption to be able to use whatever device you currently have. And then we're also seeing that a lot of our clients are using wearable devices as raffle giveaways and motivators for participating more. And it's a great way to encourage, because people love these things. They love having devices. They love receiving them. So it's a great way to encourage engagement is to do a raffle and to give away things like a Fitbit or a Misfit to people who are participating.
Very cool. Now, I mean, from a financial perspective, what does it cost companies to get involved like that? So I could see the CFO or someone saying, you know, hey, that's a really expensive thing to get into, but is it really?
It's actually less expensive than you would expect. When you think about some other kind of morale initiatives like the company picnic or the holiday party, it's really just a very small percentage of the cost that employers are spending on other morale initiatives to improve. And it has long-reaching sort of sustainable impacts on the health and the well-being of their workforce and also on the productivity.
Really? So tell me about the productivity gains.
So we're really starting to scratch the surface on what we can do to improve productivity. And there's a lot of data about, you know, increased physical activity improves productivity. And so we're hearing from some of our clients and have started doing studies on what happens with the performance of people who engage versus don't engage. And so we don't have any research yet to publish, but we are seeing that the people who engage versus don't engage in these programs actually have higher job performance and stay with the company for longer.
That's pretty cool. All right. Well, so if you were interested in this, like, what do you need to know? Is this a conversation that you would kick off with, like, with LimeAid or another wearable health type company, or is this something that you would maybe go to your insurance broker and say, hey, you know, we need the data around our risk factors? Like, where would you begin?
Yeah, well, I would encourage people to actually go to lime.com and learn a little bit more about what we do specifically. We have a lot of educational content about industry, things that HR professionals might want to know about. We also do a lot of seasonal guides that you can download for free that help you really understand how to get started with employee engagement programs. And I would just encourage you to look around in that kind of a way first. And then in terms of getting started, typically clients reach out to us or employers reach out to us directly, and we take the conversation from there versus through a third party.
Okay, awesome. So wearable devices, I know, have brought up a couple of concerns on the HR side too, right? So what sort of potential ramifications can there be in engaging in a program like this, or are there really any from an HR perspective? Like, can this cause problems in your workforce?
Well, we haven't heard from our clients that they've caused problems. We've heard that, there's a lot of concern from HR people about if I have people spend a lot of time sort of tracking, then is it taking away from what they're doing in their day-to-day job? And if they're, spending a lot of time tracking their nutrition and they're tracking with these employee engagement platforms, then they're spending less time doing their jobs and also less time kind of being outside, going outside and being healthy. And so what we're trying to do is lower those barriers so that you spend less time online, less time online tracking, and more time sort of doing the things that actually improve well-being. And so that's, I think, one of the great things about these wearable devices is you connect them once and you get credit and points for all the steps that you're doing throughout the day.
So what percentage of companies right now are engaging in this kind of program? And is it time for HR? I was reading something a while back earlier this year about how it's time for HR to write rules around wearable tech. Do you really need written guidelines and policies if you're going to engage in this kind of thing?
Well, I'm curious, why do you think that these guidelines are important for wearable tech?
I don't know specifically that they are. It was actually just an article in the Chicago Tribune earlier this year talking about how they exist and whether it's Google Glass or, the Misfit or Fitbit or whatever, when you can get into challenges with other employees, there's, that kind of engagement could be great. It could also lead to employee issues, I guess. So there should be rules and guidelines around who it's appropriate to have challenges with and stuff like that. And I kind of go back and forth on that. On the one hand, I'd like to be able to think that we could just tell adults, don't do stupid stuff and be a mouth
right.
But on the other hand, how do you keep it from being something that becomes contentious because maybe people that they think should be involved in it aren't, or, so-and-so must be taking time away from work because look at all that they're doing. I'm like, so how does it self-regulate, or do you really need that regulation?
Yeah, I haven't heard that as actually a main concern from a lot of our clients. What I hear is their main concern is how do we get more of our people engaged? How do we reach the people who are healthy and help keep them healthy? And how do we reach the people who feel like, they just can't get started on their path to improving their health and well-being? And so I think it's important to have, some sort of policies around how you engage people. But what we found is the most impactful is for these companies to sort of sponsor challenges. So, for example, like a stepwise, we have one client that's doing a Move Across America challenge where they're encouraging every single employee, from lots of different departments to connect a device and track their steps and track enough steps so that they can collectively their team can collectively step across America. So I'm not sure exactly how many steps that is, but it's quite a few steps collectively. And so a lot of the concerns we hear is really around how do we reach people where they are and make sure that we're building programs that are motivating enough to the triathlete, as much to the triathlete as it is to the sort of couch potato.
That's what we're really focused on. That's a pretty big gap to bridge, though, Stephanie. So how do you do that?
Well, some ways that I've seen companies do it that are really inspiring is to actually reach out to the people who are the sort of super athletes and who are sort of models of well-being, and ask them to be champions for their teams and to sponsor a Wednesday walk for their department. And so when you kind of reach out to those people and you sort of treat them like the inspiring role models that they are in their communities, and actually enlist them to be champions for your program, then it really helps bring the rest of the people on board and say, you know, if this person can do it, then I can too. And you know, we've seen that a specific hospital that I work with, they had a challenge going on last month called Nominate a Wellness Champion. And so some people just don't feel that comfortable kind of nominating themselves. But they had a challenge where you can nominate someone else, and in 24 hours they had 350 nominations across their hospital, which is a 10,000 person hospital. And these are all different people who have inspired others to improve their health in some way. And some of these are not, you know, elite athletes, but they're people who may have made a really big transformation in their life and can share their story to really inspire others. And so what we've done with those nominations is reach out to the people who are nominated and ask them, would you become, you know, a champion for other people, and host a Wednesday walk at lunchtime, or just try to encourage other people who are having trouble getting started, that it's really just about taking that first step.
That's fantastic. All right, so let's press pause on this real quick and do a quick show reset. If you are just joining us or tuning in to Drive Through HR, this is number one HR radio show with amazing HR conversations. You can follow us on the Twitters at Drive Through HR and hashtag Drive Through HR. We're talking today with guest Stephanie Camp, who is the VP of LimeAid, and she is stepping in for Henry Albrecht, who is not able to be here. We're talking about wearable tech and its implication in HR and the people that we work for, like the employees. So that being said, tell me who's doing it right. Like, what companies, you know, we talked about inspiration on the individual level. So let's blow back. I'll step back to a company level. Who's doing it right? What companies really have this employee engagement through health, wellness, and wearable tech down?
Well, one of the companies that we work with that, you know, continues to inspire me with their program and their connection to their employees is the Ohio State University. I think that they were really on the cutting edge of wearable technology and giving out Fitbit devices to people who are high performers and engaging in their wellness program at the outset, and then also creating kind of team-based challenges where departments challenge each other for the number of steps. For example, over the winter time during the Winter Olympics, they had a steps challenge that was Winter Olympic themed, where people could connect their devices and teams would form and really get into the spirit of the Winter Olympics through their own physical activity. And as you probably know, Columbus, Ohio can be a difficult place to engage in physical activity during the winter. So keeping people active throughout the winter was really one of their main focuses. And they've been able to engage, you know, I think 85 to 90% of their workforce through these well-being initiatives. And that's just really incredible. Incredible numbers of people participating, and has created a really positive sort of social experience for people to meet other people and to kind of inspire other people through their health improvements. And
well, that's cool. That's actually a really cool program. I mean, to be able to key in not only to just the health and wellness, but tie it into current events is pretty impressive. And yes, I wouldn't want to do any of that when it's cold like that in Ohio. So.
And they do a really great job of utilizing social media as well to create a big kind of to really bring their culture to life through their employees and through their employee engagement program. They have a Pinterest site where people post up healthy recipes. They have a Facebook page and a Twitter page where people post up tips on how to improve well-being throughout every season. And there's tons of followers on both of those, on all three of those channels, and they've done a really great job of reaching out to people through lots of different ways.
Very cool. That's actually really cool. Now, so let me transition a little bit to the chasm between an employee and a contractor. So have you seen companies including their contractors and their long-term temporary workers in these kind of programs as well? Has there been any kind of noticeable division between that where maybe they don't include them? And so does that create something of a culture rift at that point?
Well, I think I hear from a lot of our clients that they're starting to think a little bit broader about who they offer wellness and employee engagement programs to. In terms of the chasm between contractors and full-time employees, I think that that's sort of something that that is kind of inevitable in a lot of different aspects. But I think that our clients are thinking about it even broader than that. They're thinking about, you know, how do we engage the entire family? Because what your spouse does in terms of well-being has a really big impact on what you're doing and what your and actually like what all of the employees are doing. So a lot of companies have really focused initially on health improvement programs that are targeted to people who are on medical benefits. And then they're starting to realize that, you know, if 10 to 30% of my audience or my addressable audience has opted out of benefits, and we want to create a culture of health and well-being, you know, we really need to reach those people too, even though they might not help us lower our healthcare costs, but they might help us create a holistic culture of well-being at our workforce. And also a lot of the social aspects it's really tough when there's any group that's excluded from the social aspects of employee engagement. And so I think some innovative companies are really thinking broader about who they address in these programs beyond just people who are receiving medical benefits to people's entire families, as well as employees who opt out of benefits and the extended workforce.
So do you think they're doing it for the lifestyle, or do you think they're doing it for the carrots, the rewards, the people that are participating? I mean, is it really a cultural change, or is it an incentive-based change?
It really depends upon why the employer is investing in these employee engagement and health and well-being programs. You know, we used to hear a lot that employers were investing in these programs because they wanted to lower healthcare costs. And now we're starting, especially as the market for talent is becoming more competitive in the past 2 years, we're hearing a lot of employers say that the primary reason is actually to attract and retain top talent and to make sure that people feel like my employer cares about me. And so if the reason behind this investment is really the latter, then it makes more sense to open it up to people beyond just people who have opted into medical benefits.
Yeah, no arguments here. That's some interesting perspective. All right, so let's move to the esoteric for just a second. If you could change anything about this industry and the way that it looks at employee engagement programs and wearable tech part of that, what would you choose? What would you change? Why would you change it?
That's a good question. Um, I think that I would, what I'd like to see, if I could change, is really just for more companies to get involved in this and more companies to see the possibility of reaching out to their workforce and treating them like long-term assets that they want to kind of foster and engage. And more companies kind of looking to some of the innovators like the Ohio State University and engaging with people for the long run and thinking about how the HR department can help create a culture that's really positive that can help them attract and retain talent. And so I'd like to see more companies look to those innovators and think about how can they build programs that are really for employees rather than something that they're doing to employees.
So do you think maybe the way to start into that, I mean, obviously would be to look at Ohio State and some of the other companies that are doing that really well, but to also include your employees in the creation of that program?
Yeah, I think that, I spoke a little bit about wellness champions and how you can kind of reach out to these sort of natural leaders. We hear a lot from some innovative companies that are kind of reaching out to those kind of real people and helping them and reaching out to them and having them help them kind of think about what is the future of their employee engagement programs. And so whenever you're, I'm a marketer, so whenever you're tapping into the wisdom of the crowds and the wisdom of your target audience, you're going to create something that's much more targeted and relevant for them.
I would agree. Well, we've got about 4 minutes left, so I want to take a second to make sure that you've covered the stuff that you want to cover today. Is there anything else that you'd like to share with the audience before we wrap up?
Well, I would love to encourage the audience to think about wearable technologies as a really easy way to create long-term sustained engagement in your employee engagement programs. And think about how can you, what would it be like if, everyone in your organization was wearing the Fitbit or the Garmin or the device of their choice and engaging in a physical activity challenge or a team challenge with each other. And sort of having that conversation be really positive around the workforce, around positive competition.
I think that's probably fair. So tell us where we can find more information about your company. I know you said limeade.com, but are you guys on social media? And if so, what's your preferred platform?
Yeah, so Twitter is our preferred platform, and you can find us at limeade on Twitter and then limeade.com and as well on we're on Facebook as well and LinkedIn.
Awesome.
And
very
also
cool.
we're hiring, so we're a super high growth company, and so if you're interested in what we're doing, then we'd love to talk to you as well.
Nice. So what kind of roles are you hiring for?
We're hiring for a ton of roles right now. I think we have around 15 open positions, and you can find those on LinkedIn.
Very cool. Everybody, I hope you do check that out. So we've got 3 minutes left. I want to totally go somewhere different with you for the last 3 minutes. You're in marketing. You're in marketing, so it presents a really nice opportunity for us to hear about a different department. And, what do you appreciate about HR? How does HR help you in your role?
Well, I joined Limeade 2.5 years ago, and we've grown from about 20 people to 100 people in the last 2.5 years. And so, as you can probably guess, that would recruiting is so critical for any high-growth company. And as the head of the marketing department, I feel that my most important kind of role is to make sure that we are finding the best people, because if you get the right people on the team, then everything else becomes a lot easier. So I really value the work that our HR team does to bring quality candidates and to pre-screen them and to really help with the whole recruiting process, because hiring that many people in such a short period of time is very time-consuming, and our HR department makes that process really easy for us with tools and also just like great insights in how to find the right people.
That's fantastic. So thank you for sharing that with us. And I'm not trying to be glib at all, but we've got about 30 seconds left. That's good information for people to have. I mean, just to kind of see how the impact that we're able to make in HR for other departments, and hiring is certainly a pretty important part of that. So thank you very much for joining us today. It's
thank
been a cool
you.
Topic, and hopefully we can hear from you again soon.
I look forward to it. Thank you so much.
Great. Thanks, guys. Y'all have a great day.
Bye-bye.
And with that, we're out.